Workshopping a fire in the heavens.
Workshopping Mary's story. I'm Brandon.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mary.
I'm Howard. Nervous.
Sorry.
No, that's okay, Mary. You're allowed to be nervous.
So, Mary's story is called A Fire in the Heavens, which may be a working title, may not be. Mary, you get to steer this as you do your writing group.
This is sometimes called the Milford method that we're about to do, which is that people go in and take turns going around, and usually you set a timer, and so that people have, you know, X amount of time to talk. The person who wrote the story is not allowed to talk until the end, and then we can ask questions. So
how long do you usually set the timer?
Usually we set it for 2 minutes.
All right.
So, and the idea is that you list the takeaway things that you really want the author to think about, you know, things that they've done wrong, are usually things that confused you, things that you did not believe, things that you didn't care about, and then also things that you thought were cool so the author does not accidentally fix them.
All right.
I'll go first.
Go for it.
You want me to use an actual timer?
We've got
sure.
one.
Well, I kind of have one. I'll sort of look at this.
I'll watch it.
Okay.
Awesome. Go ahead and make a big noise when I need to be done. First of all, I really liked the story. It had a lot more polish on it than I expected based on the words raw, raw, raw when you... when you emailed it to me, the things that I loved, the reveal of the moon coming up over the horizon, I liked the culture clash. I liked the treatment of languages. I did have a little bit of difficulty believing that the languages wouldn't have drifted further, but since you didn't give us a time frame, I can hand wave that. You know, I'm okay with that. The places where I had the most trouble were the blocking of the action scenes, there was another thing that I've forgotten, and I was trying to go in a hurry, and I'm only a minute in, so I've got a little more time. But I ran out of things to say, so Dan, go.
Okay.
Okay. I also like this story. But I had more problems with it than Howard did, apparently. one of the things that that you knew that I remember we discussed in the original brainstorm that I don't think you solved was the conflict between the idea that these two cultures have no idea that the other one exists. Like, neither side can even fathom anything on the other side of the world. And yet... they're so recently related, and yet they have any relationship at all. That felt very weird to me, especially the constant references, like between the captain and the main character going back and forth between, well, you know, these are your people, or you come from here, so maybe you are more aligned with them than with us. Things like that seem to push them very close together, and then on the other hand, everyone had these very cool, yet very hard-to-believe attitudes about how they refuse to even acknowledge that someone could be from across the sea. And I don't feel like that paradox was solved in this draft. The other thing is I loved the whole middle section, and Howard mentioned the languages. That really was, for me, the strongest part of the entire story. As they are trying to learn to communicate, and as you are seeing that their customs are different, and that their religions are different, and that their languages are different, and the constant harping on the oxtail, because that's exactly the kind of idiom that arises in a language that doesn't make any sense to someone from outside that language. That took over the story for me and pulled all the focus away from the moon. The moon seemed like it was your excuse to write a story, and then you got really excited about the culture clash, and the moon wasn't as important as I felt it would be. It doesn't need to be. Just because that's the idea that started the story doesn't mean it needs to rule over it. But if you want that to be a focus, it totally took the back seat.
For Dan, it didn't for me. I thought it was awesome, especially the cave, quote unquote. That was great.
Well, the cave was cool, but
the cave was, the whole concept was awesome. She's like,
yeah,
oh, I'll just sit down in the dark. Okay, this is fine.
I just had trouble believing that their problems could be solved by the fact that they don't think it's very dark.
All right, Howard, I need to see that stopwatch. So why don't we do my 2 minutes, then we'll do our break for the book of the week. I really did like the idea that just something so terrifying to them, the darkness, could be nothing for her. It was really fun for me to read. I liked how clever she was in getting out of it, and the move into proactiveness. I liked when she got back to the sailors and they're like, no, we weren't going to escape without you, but then they really weren't going to. But that whole fear and panic on her part was really strong for me. I also really enjoyed the image of the moon. I was prepared for it, but it was just described really well, and it felt beautiful to me. My biggest problem with the story comes in that it felt like you were cramming so much into this that you had to jump from idea to idea to idea to idea. And I'm left at the end of the story saying, but what was this about? What was I supposed to feel? Is this an action-adventure story with we're escaping from the enemy? Is this a culture clash story where we come to understand them better? Is this about a dawning of awareness that my religion, you know, is not unique or that, you know, I didn't understand at all what this story was about, and that really bothered me through the whole story. In the time jumps between section breaks, and there were so many section breaks, it felt like you were trying to cram a 30,000-word story into 8,000 words. And that's not because this needs to be that longer. It's just that it felt like you're like, well, we'll do this idea and this idea and this idea. I wanted to know, you know, coming out here, was this spiritually meaningful for her? That didn't seem to have that much to do with it. I wanted to know, you know, when they find out that there are people there, I wanted them to stop and be like, whoa, okay, what do we do? Do they have three eyes? Are they monsters? Like, what's going to be the reaction? And I guess that's moving into something else. I had a little bit of trouble with how they acted. Like, if you were going to sail into a new country on your own continent without any context, you'd be frightened about the laws. You would want to know what the tariffs were. You would want to know all these things. But they didn't even think about that. They just sailed up and said, hi, we're from the New World. You guys don't have three eyes. That's cool. Oh, wait, you're shooting us. And that really bothered me at that point, that they didn't have any plan. They didn't have any idea what they were doing. I'm out of my time, though, so I will stop. All right, Mary, so I assume this is the part where the writing group turns back to you and you start asking us questions.
Yes. So first of all, thank you. This was very helpful. Yes, I also felt like I had too many ideas crammed into this. One of the things that we talked about when we were brainstorming was that this was a story where I had this idea of someone coming over the edge of the world and seeing the moon for the first time. And that was really all I had. So I don't actually need to focus on the moon. I just wanted a story in which I could have that moment happen. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the note about asking for more details. I originally had a scene in which they bargained with the trader that they first met, mm-hmm. and got a map and got, you know, kind of had a little bit of an idea, but basically that they looked at the landmass on the map and were like, holy crap, this is not what we were expecting. Dan, you said that you had trouble believing that these two cultures would have no idea that the other one existed. And then, you know, we're less freaked out, you know, but everyone kept saying, but you came from here. My intention was that there were legends that referred to where she came from. If I punched that up a little bit more and made it a more concrete thing, that her people absolutely believed that there was an island on the other side of the world and that they were scoffed at by the rest of them. If I punched that up, would that solve that for you?
Well, the fact that those legends existed came across strongly, particularly through the religion of the sisters.
Okay.
Because I knew that that's where they came from, and, you know, that religious connection was there.
I may not have understood what the problem was that you were citing.
Well, I suppose part of the problem was, and maybe this was just her insecurity and I misread it, but her assumption that, and this came up couple of different times, that the crew of the ship wouldn't trust her because she came from here. And I think the captain even said something about, you know, about how she, you know, why are you so weirded out? This is where you come from, or something like that, which just seemed to be at odds with the idea that nobody else believed it was even possible.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I hope you see. I don't know if I'm expressing this correctly.
Yeah, that they need to... Yeah.
I suppose part of the idea is that once they finally get there, it is so alien and it is so hostile that those suggestions that just because she believes, you know, that this place exists... It's like if I believe in Atlantis... And then we get there, and it's full of jerks who hate us and throw us in jail. No one is going to assume that I will side with them over any issue just because I believe in Atlantis.
But the thing is, I think you're overemphasizing that, because I got that she was worried they thought that, but then he's like, no, we didn't. We wouldn't leave you behind. You're not one of them, sort of thing.
Well, yeah, and that was just a part of the issue, though. The language was another one, and maybe that. Secretly, you know, is what my issue is about.
I hit a speed bump, and I don't know if this will address either of these. I hit a speed bump early on, which was, I'm not sure exactly whether this is the story that we brainstormed, because we had these concepts in the brainstorming, and then I said, you know what, I need to forget about what we were brainstorming, because what she's writing, I just need to pay attention to what's on the page. Mm. And once I cleared that in my head, I was able to enjoy what's on the page. And that was, I had the same problem when I was reading Brandon's, is that...
You brainstorm something, it becomes
you brainstorm
different.
Something, and yeah, I out. Was. Yeah. I have already told myself the story that you wrote, well, the story that you were going to write, and then you wrote a different story, and I need to argue with you. I don't need to do that. I need to address the story you wrote, not the one I told myself after we brainstormed. And that's hard to do when the critique group has been through both phases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, listeners, I will say that this is one reason that I often suggest, and other people will suggest, that you not run a story through the same group twice.
Yes, yeah.
Because
yep, exactly.
they are pre-prejudiced, you know, they come with a set of baggage to it. So I do recognize that some of that is going on.
Can I mention one other thing about the story
absolutely.
That I had notes on that I just noticed scanning back through? This might get with my other point, but I also was what the context of their trip bothered me a little bit. And I think what it is she hired them to come out here, but no, it was her whole order that hired, but there's only one of her on there. And that bothers me that, you know, if you're going to rent out a ship, you don't send one person, you send her and her guards or her and a whole bunch of them. And part of me thought, you know, shouldn't the sailors have more in this? Like, it would be wonderful. This is getting prescriptive, but if they had more skin in the game, if, you know, it's just they've been hired, part of the problem is once they see a fully populated empire, that's I don't think any ship captain is going to say, okay, let's go sail there. He's going to be like, my job was to bring you this far. We have an empire. I don't know anything about them, but every seafaring empire out there will take your ship away from you if they can get away with it, right?
Yeah.
Because the reason they don't is because of hostile nations and things like this. And I think sailing into an unfamiliar port with no treaties is something that very few ship captains would ever do just because they're hired. And so that context was bothering me, I think, and that has to do with my other thing. And so if there were more of a reason that, he's going to try this thing and she gets on board, she's like, well, take me. Because, or I don't know, I'm trying to fix your story and I shouldn't do that, but that thing bothered me a lot.
Yeah, no, I see what you're talking about there. I have to think about how to fix that because, that introduces,
I was making the assumption, and this was admittedly not in your story, that the place where they came from had multiple nations.
Yes.
And so it was normal for him to arrive in a strange seaport, and that the anomaly here is that they were this kind of fascist religious group that was extremely suspicious of outsiders. And therefore, he had a good reason to show up, but and they took him by surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and I could buy that.
Yeah.
And maybe I just didn't add that to the story myself.
Yeah, it is there, or it was there, but not very heavily, and I can make that.
Like, if this captain's like, I can get myself into any port and trade, I've sailed the most exotic places on our side of the island, I've never had any trouble.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we get chased off, but You know, I always get away with the goods if he's that type. But I don't know. This doesn't seem very safe to me. And maybe I'm just, maybe you should actually talk or get a primary sources.
Make that, but... If you actually make that a flaw in the captain.
If I make him Han Solo.
If you turn him into, you know, a little bit of a Han Solo type, you know, I'll totally buy it. Because I was almost all the way there. I was enjoying the story. I was having a good time.
What if part of what's at stake, and I'm, you know, just...
Spitballing.
Yep. I was not going to use as polite a term. What if the deal is that he gets the rest of his money after they come back? And the only way he's going to get the rest of his money is if he actually finishes...
That could be it, but once again, like, I need to know his personality.
Yeah.
And why he's, like, again, why there's only one of her, but also, it just seems so dangerous. And, you know, with the, when normally stories like this, which I'm glad you didn't go this way, because it's overdone, but normally stories like this go with the whole Columbus thing. There are riches to be had.
Yeah.
If you go, you get to plunder the place and come back with them. And sailors seem a superstitious lot, in my expectation. The idea of, now go sail to this foreign port where you don't speak the language and then sail back. Like, I don't know. That seems so dangerous to me that a lot of captains, I feel like, would be like, no, we're turning around. They've got a navy. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just totally wrong, and this is just something I'm adding to the story. It's only one person's, and the other people didn't seem to have this, so.
Yeah, I have to think about, I also have to look at some historical things. I think that this is an issue that is not an issue.
Okay. Yeah.
But
it just felt so.
I shouldn't say only, but I think that bumping up the fact that there are multiple countries, so that he's, you know.
I guess I'm getting at the core idea of I felt it was so dumb the way they acted when they sailed up, and maybe it wasn't, but I just felt like they were asking to get shot and things like that. That was my response. All I'm like, well, what do you expect? And, you know, unfamiliar port, you don't speak the language, and, you know, you're not obeying, you can't obey what they have. This seems like a really dangerous place to be. But maybe I've read so many stories that I know that that's a dangerous place to be in a story, because that's what happens. And maybe it's you know, I mean, it happened all the time in our world, I guess.
The captain totally went into the basement all by himself in the dark.
Well, yeah, but I'll be right back.
I guess I'm thinking about... I have to go. I will go and look at other first contact, historical first contact.
Right, contacts. First contact between West and East might be a good one, because both advanced cultures and.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.